name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today is Sexagesima Sunday, communicating to us that now we're roughly 60 days from celebrating the resurrection of our Lord in Pascha. And here in our second week of preparation to enter into Lent, we receive a teaching by way of a parable from our Lord Jesus Christ from the Gospel of St. Luke in chapter 8. We know it as the parable of the sower, also known as the parable of the soils. And Jesus says these words, teaching the multitude. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell on the wayside and it was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he said this, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Can you imagine the Lord doing a teaching and then crying out to the people hearing this? Really is an interesting thing we have there in Scripture. So much so that if you're like the multitudes and heard that parable for the first time and he cries out, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear," rightly, we might ask the same question as the disciples. Lord, what in the world did that mean? What did that mean? All the soil and the scattering of the seeds and what happens to it. And our Lord makes it more clear to them. He teaches his disciples that the seed that fell on the wayside, that's a well-trodden road. It's compact. It's hard. The seed fell on that hard and compact soil. There's no way for the seed to be implanted into the soil so that life could spring forth. And so it was stolen away right there on the surface by the birds. And the seed that fell on the ground, on the rocky ground, it entered into the soil, but in the soil there was a lot of rocks. And Jesus said, these are the temptations of the world, so that it's not rooted deep enough. When the temptations of this world hit, the seed dies and the plant dies. Then he says, the seed that fell among the thorns, it went in and began to bear life and to bear fruit. But the worries and the cares and the passions of this life, as it was growing, choked the life out of it and it died. Finally, the seed that fell on the good ground. These are those who receive the word of God into themselves and keep it with patience and endurance. And from that soil, a great harvest of the kingdom of God springs forth from them. I want to turn this parable on its head and start from the last, to take a look at the very last words our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of, and that's the good soil. Because it's the last thing that Jesus says in explaining this to the disciples. That's what he lovingly wants to bring us back to within the springtime of the soul of this season called Lent. And that is this. We, by his help, returning to him, are to become those who have the openness in our soul to receive him and all that he desires from us and all of his teachings, his love, his mercy, his wisdom, his truths, and his daily guidance in our life, that our souls are open to it all. To keep that which we receive from Christ every day and to live in such a way as to protect it with everything that we have and to cultivate it within ourselves as if we have received the most immeasurable, eternal, precious treasure that he's given to us. And then to take that and live a life of patient endurance, getting up when we fall down, running to our daddy to brush us off and to bandage us up and send us back on the playground again. This is the Lord's desire. And Christ is giving us the season of Lent to have the opportunity to become simple children again, beautiful, pure disciples, followers of our Lord, to posture our souls, to long for fellowship with him, so that in that fellowship we learn from him, we receive from him, we follow and we keep the things that he shows us, because we see it now as being so good and essential and blessed for our salvation and in our lives. And what is it that stands in the way of this? What in this life does every soul face, both in our brokenness and from our enemy, that he uses against us to rob us of this great gift of Christ himself? You know, that is his ultimate aim. Not just to rob you of certain things of the kingdom of God, but to rob you of the King, the lover of your soul. That's his aim. Satan uses all three types that Christ describes in the problematic soil. And I think it's fair to say that within us, we could probably discover, if we let him show us, we could probably discover all three types of soil within us even at this moment. The soil that is the hardness of our hearts. The soil that is the distractions of this world that we keep running after and becoming distracted from him. And that in our lives, in our soul, that gets so consumed by the worries and the cares of this life. It's all within us. But today we're going to probably focus more and probably only on the first type of soil, that hard soil that the Lord speaks of. The seed that falls on the ground, the hard ground, which is the hardness of the heart, the soul that will not receive the good seed into itself. Saint Cyril of Alexandria describes that hard soil in the soul like this. He teaches all whose minds are hard and unyielding, so to speak, pressed together, that do not receive the divine seed. The divine and sacred admonition does not find an entrance into them. And that sacred admonition, he's talking about everything Christ offers. His instructions for life. His healing corrections. The prescriptions he gives us to make us whole. Areas of our soul that are hard and will not receive those wondrous things. He goes on to teach, they do not accept the words that would produce in them the fear of God, and by means of which they could bring forth as fruits the glories of his kingdom. Here we're presented simply with this, the stubborn will that is in each one of our soul, each one of us. That within us, that when we're presented with Christ and all of his goodness and his directions, his guidance, the way that he lovingly calls us to repentance, which is turning away from the direction of our will, that direction that will always cause us chaos, dis-ease, frustration within our soul, great harm to our soul, and turning away from that and turning back to Christ himself to receive the good things that he wants to give us for our life and salvation. I mean, that's repentance 101. To turn away from, to turn to. It's like this. We see the truth at times. We receive the holy and perfect loving way of Christ for us. We know what he's telling us at times in our life, but we stand firm and for some reason reject it. We keep it at bay, and we continue to go our own way. We've got to realize that in those areas of our lives, what we're doing is we are rejecting him, his love, his mercy, his healing. We reject the true life and salvation that he longs to offer us. And St. Cyril mentions this, that we are to receive the word of God in such a way that it produces such a healthy fear of God in us that moves us to Christ, that we bear the fruit of the kingdom of God. When I say the healthy fear of God, I fear that most of us have the unhealthy fear of God in us. That our enemy wants to teach us, or some baggage left over from wherever we came into the church. I do not fear God, and the church does not teach us to fear God like this, as if we're walking some unholy tightrope where we get off one inch and God seeks to punish us in that moment. That is the wrong fear of God. It is not godly, it's satanic. That's not who he is. But fear of God? Absolutely. Let me tell you, in my life, and what the Fathers even teaches, often, and what needs to be in all of our lives, the fear of God, is the fear of hearing certain words said to us in our lives, a different season of our lives. Jesus saying to us, for example, I have shown you, I've given you the way. I've laid out a path for you to find healing in your life and to experience my glory and the glory of my kingdom. I've given all of that to you. But right now you don't want them in this area of your life. Therefore, I say to you, and these are the words we should fear to hear, I say to you, thy will be done. Why? Because when we hear, and when God truly does say to us, thy will be done, we are now given over to our will to experience the chaos and destruction that it brings in our lives. God has no need to be looking to punish us. In order that we might be saved, he gives us over to our will when we are hard of heart, that our hearts may soften by the destruction that we reap and the pain that it causes within us, that we run back to him. So he opens our heart back again. That's how we are to fear the Lord. And that fear of the Lord, St. Cyril says, that opens the door to such a harvest of salvation in our lives when we return to him and lay our will down. Because the hardness of our heart and our soul to the love and to the will of God will result in the absolute diminishment of the human experience in this life. Why? Because we were absolutely created to be recipients of all that God is. That's what we were created for. And when we walk our own way and deny him, we reap the whirlwind of what we weren't created for. So he calls us back to himself. This is the soil our Lord is describing, this hard, unyielding soil that's in our hearts. But thanks be to God, St. Cyril also presents to us the antidote for such hard heart and hard soil within us. He says, let those who are awake, whose heart is sterile and unfruitful, open yourselves. Receive the sacred seed. Be like productive and well-tilled soil. Bring forth to God the very fruits that will raise you up to an incorruptible life. The answer is opening our soul to Christ and letting him share himself with us. In Hosea chapter 10, we find it's written there that Israel once again has a completely divided heart toward God, an absolutely divided loyalty. And by the way, we can be much like Israel in our loyalties. So God, through the prophet Hosea, tells them what to do about their divided hearts, how to posture themselves before God that they might receive all that he has wanted to give to them. And his words to them communicate to us the very same call and direction of Christ that we would do well to heed as we enter into the season of Lent. God, through the prophet Hosea, says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in the mercy of God. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Break up the fallow ground, the hard, the unrelenting, the unyielding ground of the soul, and do so by seeking after God. Seek him. That's what the fear of God should cause us to do. That's when you note, when you are experiencing in your lives the blessed fear of God, that it moves you to him. It moves you to him. To be moved to go boldly before the throne of grace, to find mercy, grace, and help in time of need, as the writer of Hebrews states it clearly. Here's the truth for me, and here's the truth for all of us. The idol of what I want and desire, which is rooted in my brokenness, it's rooted in my brokenness and my fallenness, that idol must be cast down. The idol that tempts me to make myself the Lord over my life, to pursue my own direction, thinking that contentment and fulfillment can be found in a direction that I choose apart from God. Don't you know that was the very first temptation that caused the fall in the garden? That idol must be cast down with the help of God in our lives, that Christ might be exalted to his proper place on the throne of our souls. And there, that's when the seed of God grows and blossoms within the soil of our souls and produces a harvest of the kingdom of God within us. Just like any lawn or landscape or gardening, agricultural experts tell us this very specifically, that the success of the harvest and the success of the beauty and the full growth of the landscaping is absolutely dependent on the condition of the soil. Always. Lent is a season for us to yoke ourselves to Christ again, who is, as we've said before, the one who will pull the strongest weight of the plow as we're yoked to him. And as the plow is pulled, the hardness of our hearts, the rock underneath the soil, and the thorns and the thistles, they get dug up so they can be scraped away, and we can become truly recipients of Christ and his kingdom. Father Alexander Schmemann said this of Lent. He said, the purpose of Lent is not to force on us some formal obligation. Yes, we have prescriptions in Lent, prescriptions that will heal. But Lent is not to force on us a few formal obligations, but to soften our heart so that it may open itself to the realities of the Spirit, to experience the hidden thirst and hunger for communion with God. I've always found this, and you will too, and many of you have, that the more we allow Christ and walk with Christ, aiding us in tilling up the soil of our soul, we always discover that underneath all of that hardness and all the distractions, underneath it all is the pure, created hunger and longing for God. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to help us unearth, so that we may enjoy him and be filled with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God,
the Father.